All right, this time we do want to recognize our high school graduates for the year 2023. How many of y'all thought the year world was going to end in the year 2000? Yeah, look at us. Oh, we made it. Here we are. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Well, we have a graduating class this year, and we're very excited for that. And so if you are graduating high school this year, we would like to recognize you. If you would, make your way to the platform. We're going to present you with a gift from the church. And I have to specifically, hold your applause, yeah? I'm just kidding. I have to specifically mention that Pastor Monty has also given you a book called The 12 Rules of Life. The 12 Rules of Life. So everyone come on here on this side here. And what we're going to do is I'm going to say your name, and then Pastor Wall is going to present you with your gift. And if you would, just walk over here to this side, okay? From one side to this side. And then stand for all the photos, okay? All right, so this year we have Isaiah Yarber. Isaiah Yarber. There you go. Good time. Myrtle Vincent. Myrtle's got a fan club. That's great. Is Kelsey Hankins, she with us here? She's here, I think. She's back there somewhere. All right, well, we congratulate her as well. Ethan Wall, he's here. Evelyn Proctor. Griffin Hayes. Levi Caldwell. TJ Wilson. TJ is going to be our intern for this summer. We're very excited about that. Miss Gloria Brewer. Look at this. All right, Miss Emily, but she is not here. She graduated down in Pensacola from their academy. Dustin Hochstetler. And Jenna Eaton. And Eric Scherer. All right, Faith Baptist Church, a graduating class of 2023. Thank you. You can go. And that's a study Bible along with the book called The 12 Rules of Life. And the way that that Bible study works is you have to open it and read it. It's actually a very good study Bible. I do hope that you take the time to scroll through it, learn about it, and let it help you on your walk in this life, in this journey. Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. Would you please take your Bibles? And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. That last congregational song could not have been more perfectly placed than what we're going to talk about tonight. Matthew chapter number 6. When you find verse number 25, would you stand with me if you're physically able to for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 and 26. The Word of God says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Let's continue reading. Verse 27. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies." Let's pray together. Father, we are trusting in your word tonight to speak to our hearts. This is a challenge for the high school graduates of 2023. But Father, this is your eternal word, and all of us need to hear and listen. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Jesus is speaking to quite a large crowd. This is our infamous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. When we come to chapter 6, he's in the middle of it. And he takes people by surprise. I believe he takes people by surprise in this passage because he knows the thoughts of all of us. We all have a default thought, and that is worry. Oh, it looks differently with other people. Some folks worry about finances. That's me. You worry about your cars. Well, that's me too. Some, it could be about health. It could be about relationships. It could be about a family member. It could be about your boss. It could be about your employees. We all tend to worry. Worry is trying to summarize in the present what you don't even know about the future. When I worry about my finances, I'm looking at my present state, trying to figure out what is going to happen in the future and how I can fix it and prepare myself for the future that I don't even know about. And because I don't know about this future and what all it's going to mean and how I'm going to prepare for it, I get thrown into a downward spiral of worry, and it's all based on confusion. I'm confused about the future. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look clear. I don't understand all what's going to happen. How can I prepare for something that I have no idea what is about to take place? For the class of 2023, for the last 12 years or more, all you have known is school. That has been the structure of your life. School. You woke up every day since the age of 5 having your mother say, "Get ready for school. It's time for school." You've had water poured on your face to wake you up. You have the worst thing. Look, parents, I'm a parent, and it does irk me. When you're trying to wake your kid up and you just leave the lights on, quit it. Turn the lights off. Let the child sleep. My father did that, and I would just throw the blankets over and just pray horrible things about my father. For years and years, it was about packing a lunch, having enough money for the school lunch, having enough money for the surprise events that you just heard about the day prior. It's always been about parent-teacher meetings, parent-teacher conferences. It's always been about that last-minute project to get done or studying for that final exam. For the last 12 years, what you've known has been pretty predictable. You wake up, you go to school, you love school, or you hate school, you make friends, you do this, you get involved, you become whatever the grade might be, and then you get to the end of the spring semester, and it's summertime, you enjoy summer, and you're back at it for 12 years. This has been it. But now all of that is changing. Right now, your schedule is ultimately changing for the rest of your life. And it can be quite daunting when you consider that there are so many more responsibilities laid upon you. As adults, we can look at them and try to bestow upon them some wisdom that would help them. And that's our responsibility. Everybody ought to take upon themselves a personal responsibility of bestowing wisdom upon somebody else. Truthfully, whether they ask for it or not. Most likely, TJ's not going to come up to me and say, "Pastor Ryan," he doesn't do this, but, "Pastor Ryan, give me all your wisdom." He's probably not going to do that. Ethan's not going to come up to his dad and say, "Dad, just pour everything upon my life. Let me know everything about life." But we try our very best to give them wisdom when we can and take the opportunities when we can. But ultimately, their future is as unclear as our very own. We can look at somebody who is graduating high school or graduating college and it be decades ago for us and say, "Oh, you'll have to go through this and you'll have to experience this and you'll go through this." But truthfully, of all the things that we'll say, we still have no idea what they're going to go through. We have no idea the hardships and the difficulties that lay right before them. We have no idea of the rewards and the victories and the amazing memories that they're going to make. It is our human reaction and response to not take the next step until we know what is going to happen. We don't like to make decisions based on unknowns and uncertainties. When you go and look at a car or a truck, oh, this is a good example. You want to go look at a truck. I have nothing against the town of Erie, Pennsylvania. Nothing against those folks. But I want to tell you, there's a dealership up there that sold me a truck. And this is a lot of me, okay? I get it. Did you know also that Erie, Pennsylvania is the snowfall capital of the United States? I didn't know that until they said it's starting to snow. And it poured the snow. And I go up to go buy this truck at night in a place that is filled with salt from Lake Erie, from the snowfall and the salt that they put on the road. I had no idea how brittle that truck was. I went by myself. It was in the dark. And I was just so excited about finding a good deal. Has your kid ever had the greatest idea and nothing you could do could sway them? Oh, it was it. I mean, this truck was it. This was the God. This is God put this in my lap, and I know it was from God. And my dad said, "Are you sure, son? You're driving up 8 hours to purchase a truck in the dark? A used truck in the dark?" And it turns out that, you know, I think it was maybe a year later, maybe less than that, 8 months later, I was on the lift to get an oil change, and the front half of the truck went up, and the back half decided to stay down. And I get that phone call from the dealer, said, "Hey, your oil's changed, but your truck's in half." We have no idea what could happen in the future. If I had known that, I certainly would not have made such a horrible decision. We want to make sure that we know everything about the house before we buy it. You ought to be making sure that you knew everything about that girlfriend or the boyfriend before you marry them. We want to make sure that we know some things about a church before we join it. We want to make sure that we know something about the car or the vehicle before we purchase it. It is our human nature to know everything about the unknown before we take our next step. But it seems like no matter how hard we try, life throws us a curveball. And something completely unexpected happens. And in moments of those, in the days that those take place, we see Christians fall out by the wayside. We see Christians grow hard against God because God did something or allowed something unexpected to happen to them. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's also speaking to the large crowd that is gathered there. He knows what he is asking them to do. He is asking them to deny themselves, to take up the cross and follow him. He is asking them to live in a way that is beyond the law. It is not in conjunction to the law, or it is not in a rejection of the law, but in fulfillment of the law. It was a new way of living, but there were so many unknowns. The law kept them in the right order. We knew when to do this and to do this and how to do that, and we knew about this sacrifice and the days and the feast, and we had everything laid out. And then Jesus steps in the scene and just throws a curveball to everybody. He's not here to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law, and now he's introducing to them this new way of living through him. And it causes concern in their hearts and in their mind, because there are some unknowns. They're worried about what we're going to do for a living. We're worried about how we're going to provide for ourselves. We're worried because we've kept all these things and God has blessed us, and we have our writings of the law and of the prophets that clearly state when we don't do these things, then God will do this. And it doesn't always turn out so well. When we disobey God, he does this. And now all of a sudden we're saying we don't have to necessarily follow all those laws, but how are we going to take care of ourselves? And Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. When we come to verse 28, he says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies. I would like for you to mark those three words. If there's anything that could be placed on your heart and mind tonight, it would just be that. Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. When Jesus is speaking, he is God's Son. He is from God. He says, I and my Father are one. He came from heaven. He knows everything about God. He knows everything about the glories and the splendor of God. He knows about his amazing riches. He knows of his abundant grace. And he is speaking to the disciples and he is speaking to this crowd. And he's reminding them, don't worry about the necessities of life. Consider the fowl of the air in verse 26. They sow not, nor reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. They say that there is anywhere between 50 billion and 250 billion birds. It's a lot of birds. Now, because everything is so variant and they're finding all new species and there's subspecies and there's categorized species that really should be put together. Let's just say for the backyard bird, there's 50 billion backyard birds. Okay, it's not an ostrich, right? We're talking cardinals. If your backyard has an ostrich, you call somebody. It's a sparrow, cardinal, whatever it is, 50 billion. The average weight of a backyard bird is about 2 ounces. Not a big, heavy thing. They say that birds will eat about half of their body weight every day. It's about an ounce. So 50 billion birds eat 1 ounce of food every day. That's 50 billion ounces, which comes to 3,100,000,000. Don't pull your calculator out. This is all true. 3,125,000,000 pounds of food every day. 3,125,000,000 pounds of food every day. That Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, feedeth them. And Jesus says, how much more are you than all they? If God Almighty makes sure that by the end of the day, in preparation for the birds who will be waking up tomorrow, that he has 3,125,000,000 pounds of food waiting for them, how much more will your Heavenly Father take care of you? Aren't you worth more to him than a sparrow? Then he says, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? How am I going to pay for school? How am I going to get down to school? How am I going to make friends? How am I going to have a relationship? How are my teachers going to speak to me? How are my relationship with my professors? How is my job and my new boss? And how am I going to do taxes? And how am I going to fill this out? And how am I going to find an apartment? All these things. Jesus said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unsaved. For your heavenly Father, verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Class of 2023, you're scattered throughout. You are walking into some uncertainties. You probably have some already laid out and you know where you're going to go to college, you know what degree, but still, as you think into the future, in the back of your mind, you have that quick response of, hey, what are you going to do after graduating? I want to do this and this. You have that quick response, but ultimately, probably in your mind, you have some worries, you have concerns, you have some ideas that are just foggy and it's dark and your future isn't very clear, and you start to get worried. I want you to know from the words of Jesus, who came from God, he said, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. 3,125,000,000 pounds of food for just birds. He will take care of you. For the lilies, they grow and they develop and they're beautiful. Yet they don't try. They do absolutely nothing. They toil. They spin not. That means they're not over there sewing together all of their colors. God clothes them. And I want you to know, yes, you may not have all the wealth in the world. You may not have all the fancies that you desired, but I can trust God and I can believe His word that God will take care of you. You don't have to know what's happening tomorrow. You don't have to make sure that you know every step of the way. There's not a bird tonight that's going to go to bed worried. There's no bird that stays awake to make sure that God replenishes the ground with worms and with bugs and 3,125,000,000 pounds of food. They simply trust the Creator. And you can simply trust your Father that He will take care of you. Oh yes, you do have to make decisions, but God will take care of you. Yes, there are some uncertainties, but God will take care of you. When we're considering the fowls of the air, when we're considering the lilies, Jesus loved to use object lessons. So I can imagine that while he's speaking, he's saying, consider the fowl of the air, and there goes some fowl, all the way across. Perhaps in the field that they're at, he's speaking and he points to some lilies. And he said, consider the lilies. Consider how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. What's amazing is even when you're driving down the road and you see some lilies, you had nothing to do with the lily. Nothing to do with it. Those who were there with Jesus, who were considering the lilies that were right beside them, those wild lilies that were right there, they had nothing to do with it. Yet when they arrived, it was there for their view and for their pleasure. I want you to know we can trust God because He is the God that goes before you and prepares. He is the God that will go before you and prepare. He is preparing your tomorrow while you are living your today. He is preparing your future while you are living in the present. God is a God who prepares. We see that from the day of creation. It's a very good thing He didn't mix up the days. Put Adam in day number one would not have lasted very long. God put Adam exactly where he needed to be. God prepared everything for the day that Adam would arrive. God prepared Adam for the day that Eve would arrive. And on, all through Scripture, we can see countless stories of how God was going well before somebody. They couldn't see the next step in front of them, but God was already making a way. The psalmist writes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is not a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. All I have right now is enough light for today. I want you to know that the light that you have for today is sufficient for you to walk in tomorrow. Monday's coming up. Usually you might get ready to plan your day out, plan your week out, budget. And you're looking at the future and you don't have enough time and you don't have enough money. You don't know what's going to happen. I want you to know that Jesus will take care of you tomorrow. You don't have to have it all planned out. You don't have to have every single step known to you and understood in your mind before you start to follow what Christ wants you to follow and the path that He has you on. We want to know everything. We want to see it all in the clear before we take that next step. But Jesus says, consider the lilies. They were here even before you got here. Because He's the God that goes before you and will prepare your future. But He's also the God who remains in the present and promises to provide. He's the God who remains in the present and promises to provide. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, He said, give us this day our daily bread. I cannot eat tomorrow's bread. Tiffany likes to think I eat tomorrow's snacks, but because I just eat them all. She'll bring them home and I'm like, oh good, we have food for today. And she's like, no, this is supposed to last all week. I can't consume everything that is set for me tomorrow. All I have is today. What Jesus wants us to understand is let tomorrow take care of itself. The God of tomorrow is already there. He's already before you. He is the good shepherd that doesn't push His sheep. He's the good shepherd that'll lead His sheep. He's the one that is going before you already into college, already into that job, already into that state, already into that apartment, already into that relationship. He is already putting things in place before you. While He's doing that, He wants you to understand you can trust Him today. You can trust Him today. Several times in this passage, Jesus frequently would say, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Stop worrying, stop worrying, stop worrying. I don't know if I have all the money. Stop worrying. I don't know if I'll have all the... Stop worrying. I don't know how to stop worrying. Just worry about what you need today and trust God that He will take care of you. There was times in my college life that every month that school bill would need to be paid. And I made a mistake called automatic withdrawal. And a key to the success of an automatic withdrawal is to make sure that there is something in there for them to withdraw. Well, believe it or not, they can withdraw even if there's nothing in there. I didn't know that until I checked my account and I was in the red, a really bright red, a very discouraging red. And it was negative, I think it was like 1,200. And I thought, ooh, that's not good. I don't even know how to pay back no money I didn't have to pay them back. I had no idea what was happening in my life right then. Absolute discouragement. Absolute distraught. But a miracle was on the way. I was so worried about the next bill that I would easily let that consume my whole day. And the beauty of the sun, the blessing of my friends, the food that I got to eat that day quickly became obsolete. I remember when I was in West Virginia, working hard, as hard as I could, for that church. By then we had two little girls, maybe just Jules. And we had a house and a truck and the car. And I remember at the end of the month, I was writing out my budget and preparing for the next month. And so I was going through my bank account before I would get paid for that week and start to make the budget. I checked my bank account, see what I had left over from this previous month. And it said 0.62. 62 cents. Now that was not just from this shore. My offshore accounts were flourishing and all of my investments. It was all fine. That was it. That was all I had. No extra savings. Nothing in a savings account. Nothing. And I got very, very angry with God. I don't know if guys, you throw temper tantrums, but I threw a temper tantrum. And I was in my church office, and thankfully they put me up in the gymnasium where I was the only one in there, and I just had a tantrum. I mean, regrettably, I say I punched my desk. Had a big dent in it. I was so mad at God. God, why are you, what are you doing? Only 62 cents. I have a wife. I have two daughters. I have cars. I have this house payment. I have the insurance. I have the food, and I have all the other things and the gas. And all I have is 62 cents. God, what are you doing? And in that moment, I know it wasn't an audible voice of God, but it was audible in my spirit. God said, that's right. You have 62 cents. For the past month, I gave you 3 meals a day. I took care of every light bill, every gas bill, every heat bill. I took care of all the water. I took care of all your food. I took care of all your cars, all the times you needed gas, all the clothes that you had. I took care of your daughter. I took care of your wife. I took care of your dog. Every single day. And in that moment, it was a Matthew 6:28. It was a moment for me to look behind me and not see one lily that God did. But I had a whole field of lilies in my life. Or had it not been for the grace of God, God took care of me that whole month. God watched over me that whole month. God blessed us that whole month. And He was so good, He even gave me 62 cents left over. I didn't need that 62 cents because all my needs were already met. My God shall supply your need according to His riches and mercy. What is God doing? He is going before us and He's preparing. Yet He stays right here with me and gives us this day our daily bread. For the graduates of 2023 and for the church members and the guests and all that are here today, consider the lilies. Do you have an unknown coming up? You're looking into the future of your finances. Do you have an unknown? Are you looking so far that you're worried about what's going to happen? Do you have something that is constantly hovering over your mind? It seems like it'd be a dark cloud over your spirit. Consider the lilies. Look what God already did for them. How much more shall your heavenly Father feed you? How much more shall your heavenly Father clothe you? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need it, that ye have need of all these things. And lastly, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know what those things are? It's those things that they were worrying about. Jesus said, just seek first the kingdom of God. Can you imagine somebody who has knowledge of all the riches of God, all the blessings of God, and all He is saying is not to make sure you follow all the laws. He's not saying make sure you say this certain prayer every single day of your life. He says, just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to figure everything out. All you have to do is seek first His kingdom. Consider the lilies. Let's pray together. God, would you please help us? Would you please help me? There's moments when anxiety and worry start to take over my heart and my mind. Would you give me the hindsight to look back and see all the lilies? To see how you take care of them, how you've taken care of me in the past. And I know you will take care of me. For every bird, God, that I hear, let it be a reminder that you are taking care of them. You're going to take care of me. My prayer for the graduates of 2023 and for all of us today is that you would help us to consider these lilies and to know that you will take care of us. May we stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation.